Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It is a pleasure to bring you greetings all the way from the Lost Coast out there in Ferndale. It is literally on the north end of the Lost Coast. So greetings to you from all the saints out there. It's also a pleasure to have the opportunity to serve you this morning with our Lord's Word. As Paul says a few verses before this morning's epistle reading, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the Word of God fully known. Paul is saying that to a congregation he's never been to, for you. It's a pleasure to make God's Word fully known to all of you here in Alamosa, as you receive weekly. But I get to do it today. And that is the pleasure. Today's sermon text is from our epistle reading. It's Colossians 2, 8 to 10, which reads, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority." All right, so as we get into it, I have a question for you. Tell me, what's your favorite source of information? Facebook? You love getting your news from Facebook? About YouTube? You're big YouTubers, right? Television news? Is that still your primary source of information? How about the radio? NPR? Something like that? Do you have a favorite podcast? What about the newspaper? Does Alamosa still have a newspaper? Yeah? It survived? Okay, great. All right. Ferndale has California's smallest newspaper, and it still functions. It's great. What about books? You get your news, your information from books? Or how about this? Chatting with friends and family. This is probably the most easiest way to get our information, just having conversation. Coming to church, also a source of information. My answer to this question is yes to all of them. We use all kinds of ways of getting information, and they're all good. And they all can be bad, too, if misused. And sometimes we use these sources to stay up on pretty trivial information. That would be all those videos you love to watch that have kittens in them. Right? It would also be those funny memes you just love to hit like and share, right? That really have no real value except that they make you smile. Other times we use these sources to get our 411 on what's happening in the community. When the next fair is going to be, or what's happening downtown, a festival, or, you know, whatever. Newsy stuff. Still other times, these sources become conduits of greater truth. The exchange of big ideas, even in the simplest of ways. Have you ever seen a Bible verse on Facebook? Little graphic, just a short little verse that you shared? It's simple. It's a seemingly innocent post. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Share. Right? And there's usually a beautiful picture of a waterfall or a rainbow or something. Simple. But the communication is huge. It's dealing with the most important topic on earth. The same thing happens when we have conversations with our friends, our relatives, our neighbors. Often we venture into heavy realms, such as religion, even though our parents try to teach us that those were off base, right? You don't talk about politics or religion in good company, right? Which I say, no, do the opposite. Talk about both those things as much as possible, because that's what matters. The Christians in Colossae were not that different from us. They were regular folks, Christians, trying to live their life in the midst of their neighbors. And what we get from this epistle is that there were some folks among them, neighbors next door, who were trying to lead them away from the full assurance of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of their sins. The full assurance of understanding that the knowledge of the mystery of God, that's the language Paul uses, the knowledge of the mystery of God is Christ. The knowledge of the mystery is a guy in the flesh, Jesus, the Messiah. These neighbors were known as Judaizers, and Paul deals a lot with them in Galatians. You've read Galatians. He's dealing with them here as well. They were Christian types who tried to add to the gospel by bringing back the law of Moses. Basically, they were Jesus plus people. Yes, Jesus, of course Jesus, but certainly not only Jesus. There's got to be more to the forgiveness of sins, more to salvation, more to eternal life than just Jesus. Jesus plus circumcision, that might get it done. Jesus plus keeping the Ten Commandments, that would certainly solve the problem. The gospel and the law for salvation. The gospel and what you must do to receive it. Now, in the case of our brothers and sisters in Colossae, the Judaizers were ordinary people, a little different from the group that he's talking about in Galatians. The word philosophy in verse 8 might lead us to believe that they were highly trained philosophical types, teachers and such, but that's not how the rest of this epistle portrays them. The folks who were trying to lead the Colossians astray were neighbors with religious opinions. Anybody ever met a neighbor who had a religious opinion? Yeah. They had their own speculative view based on their own sources of information, their own philosophies on Jesus and the salvation that he gave, and what a person needed to do to be saved. Sounds familiar, right? Have you had friends, family, colleagues tell you their theories on salvation? Well, you know, yeah, I see what you're saying, but I believe this. What my denomination teaches is this. Have you ever heard so-and-so's take on the Bible? He's got great followers on YouTube. You should check him out. And what is it that my dad used to say? Oh, yeah. Opinions are like... Yeah, I can't say that in good company. Let's clean it up. Opinions are like armpits. That'll work. We all have them, and they're known to stink. Paul heard about what the Jesus plus types had to say. Their opinion of the gospel. That Jesus was insufficient for your salvation. So he wrote to the congregation, which to their credit, he says, had up to this point withstood the false teaching. They were holding their ground, firm and in good order. Verse 5. Then he goes on to say, therefore, since you've been holding firm to the faith, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, that is, freely without any strings attached, so walk in him freely, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught by your faithful pastor, abounding in thanksgiving. Basically, Paul says, remember what you were taught, the truth by a faithful preacher. Remember Christ and him crucified alone is sufficient for your salvation. Don't buy into any of these religious opinions, these philosophies that your neighbors may have. Jesus saved you through his life, death, and resurrection. It is finished. Period. No room for a plus sign after Jesus' name. You who were in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set it aside, nailing it to the cross. That's what the apostles always preached. The pure gospel of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. There is no Jesus plus, because the plus always brings the legal demands, the law. Do this. Don't do that. Be circumcised. Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. Be good. Be moral. Be kosher. Upstanding. Deny yourself pleasure. That's what he says there, asceticism. Because if you're going without, if you're denying yourself of joy, that proves you really believe this stuff. Make sure you worship on Saturday because that's the only time it counts. Fast at this time, but not at that time. No. That just won't do. None of that will do. Jesus did everything necessary for your salvation. There is nothing left for us to do. There is no more law language to get to heaven. We keep the law because we want to. Because we know it pleases our Father, not because we have to. Jesus fulfilled the law. No rules that must be followed in order to get through the pearly gates. None of our liturgical practices, which we love as Lutherans, will get us back to the land of the Lord. Your devotional habits, I'm sorry to say, are not meritorious. You are not getting points for doing them. They aren't good works that are climbing you up the ladder to heaven. What we do because it points to Christ for our neighbor, just as we heard in the language of the gospel, giving for our neighbor's sake. We do everything because everything has been done for us. It's a response to the gospel. It's a response in freedom. Paul rejoiced to see the Colossians' good order and the firmness of their faith in Christ because their liturgical and their devotional practices were rightly focused on Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. Their religious observance was good and faithful and not burdensome. And so Paul says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." And here it is, my friends. Here's the punch and the point of today's sermon. Do we have note takers? Is there note takers? You might want to. Here's the point. For in Him, that is in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in Him, who is the head and rule and authority. Dear saints, you too are to see to it that no one takes you captive. As Paul urges in Galatians 5:1, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery, to laws that take you captive. Christ has set you free. As you interact with the opinions of others in your daily lives, whether it's over a cup of coffee or flipping through Facebook, listening to a podcast or watching the news, as you engage in the philosophies of your friends and family and the prevailing human precepts and teachings passed off as a show of wisdom, man-made traditions, self-made religions, don't be taken captive by empty deceit. You've been filled in Jesus. Filled. Think of yourself as a cup. A cup that's been buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God. who raised him from the dead. You were filled up. The river of life flowed into you. Your container has no more room. Nothing else can go in there. There's nothing else for you to do. For in Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled with that Jesus fullness. Plus, can one add to the fullness of deity dwelling in Christ, who fills up the baptized believer? I'm not that good at math, but my experience of the gas pump has taught me that when the tank is full, there's no more room for anything else. You can look at the side of my car and you can see the consequences. Can't put an additive in it once it's full. The tank is already at max capacity. Jesus is not a partialness, an almost fullness. In him is the fullness of deity. And you have been filled with that. Not partially filled. Paul says filled. Jesus. Jesus alone. There is no room for anything else. Any philosophy, any ideology, any speculation, any theory that someone might present that offers Jesus plus, it is wrong. You've been baptized in Christ. You are filled in Christ. With his life-saving work upon the cross, with his body and blood given and shed for you and distributed to you through communion. He has done everything necessary for your salvation. Kept every law for you. The answer to your sin problem is Christ crucified for the world and for you. Nothing else is of any value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Christ alone fills you up. We've been knit together in love to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. It may sound reasonable out there, but if what someone says, what they offer to you as their religious view, is not Jesus alone for your salvation, it is wrong. And it's okay to say that. Everything you want to know is found in Christ. He is the knowledge of God's mystery. He is the riches of full assurance and understanding that you've been forgiven of your sin. Wisdom and knowledge are in the treasure chest of the incarnation. And my dear friends, in him, in that treasure chest, you have been filled. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.